I'm a mathematician and working on homotopy theory, and I'm especially interested in this topological modular form and its relation to physics. So in this week I'm visiting Theo and enjoying talking with people around here. And so I'm interested in recently interested in topological modular form, but so this kind of work is very much following the direction of the research initiated by Theo and Gaiotto, so to really use the theory of topological modular form in homotopy theory to really apply to physics, especially string theory. So as I'm going to explain, topological modular form is originally motivated by physics, Witten, which is to realize the Dirac operator, index of the Dirac operator in a loop space. But then in order to realize it mathematically, there are deep homotopy theory development, and it motivated many interesting mathematics development. But on the other hand, the real application of such developed theory of topological modular forms had been lacking, and it was really initiated by Theo and Gaiotto's work, and we are really excited to following that direction. So this is the kind of research I'm currently doing, and especially I'm a mathematician, and I'm working with this Yuji Tachikawa physicist about finding the connection between homotopy theory, interesting homotopy theory, and string theories. This is the what I'm going to talk about today. So today I'm going to talk about these two works. Two works are related. Both of the works are related. The first work, in the 2021 is to. So there is two directions, so between physics and mathematics. The first result is about the direction from using mathematics to prove a physics problem. So mathematics to physics direction. And second work is something opposite. So we have something interesting, some motivation from physics, and find interesting mathematically. So concretely, what we did in the first week, first work is to show the some vanishing problem of the anomaly cancellation in heterotic string theory using the homotopy theory language. So what we did is the following. So we showed the physical question we wanted to address in the first work was to show that the anomaly in heterotic string theory vanishes. And our strategy is to translate this physical statement into purely mathematical thing using the correspondence between homotopy theory and physics, like Stolz-Steichner conjecture about supersymmetric QFT, and also the more recent Fried-Hopkins conjecture about the classification of anomaly in terms of Anderson gels. Then, using such a translation, we translate this question into a purely mathematical question of to show that some transformation in homotopy theory, cohomology theory, or spectrum vanishes. Then we showed it in purely mathematical way. So this is what we did in the first work. And the second work was building on that vanishing result. In the second work, so in homotopy theory, it is typical that if you have some interesting vanishing result, then you can consider something secondary, which is very non-trivial. That happened here. And so since we have this vanishing of anomaly, we can show that there is a secondary morphism, which implied by this vanishing result. And it turns out, this is can be regarded as something like secondary anomaly transformation. And it turns out to be related to the mathematical result about the Anderson duality of TMF. And I think it is interesting because Anderson duality in TMF was only purely homotopic theoretically known result, and we gave a physical interpretation. Or if you are a mathematician, it can be said that we gave a differential geometric understanding of that result. Then, as I'm going to explain this result, so this is, this result is mathematically, I think, interesting, but there is purely so physical application about a concrete concrete correspondence between DOAs and TMF, so chromatic height to torsions we detect. So this is the goal of my talk. If you have any questions, you're very welcome to ask. So the plan of the talk is the following. So the talk is divided to two parts. And in the first part, I'm going to explain the first work. And second part, I'm going to explain the second work. And so the whole of the talk is I want to illustrate the interplay between physics and mathematics. So in the first work, I'm going to explain the work relating the vanishing of heterotic anomaly and topological modular forms. And as I said, I'm going to use the very important relation between homotopy theory and physics, homotopy theory and physics. Namely, the first one, so I'm going to explain two kinds of this thing. The first kind is the relation between topological modular form and supersymmetric QFT, which is the Stokes-Steichner conjecture. And the second ingredient is the relation between anomalies and Anderson duals. Then I'm going to explain how to formulate the problem and prove it mathematically. Then I'm going to explain the secondary anomaly transformation and its relation with Anderson self-duality of TMF. Is there something at this point? So let me move on to the explanation of this result. So as I said, the main result of this first work is to show the following physical statement. To show that heterotic string theories are so anomaly cancellation in heterotic string theory. So, and strategy is to use the relation between physics and homotopy theory, namely the Stokes-Steichner conjecture and Friedhoff. Yeah?
I really do have a question. So, at heterotic string theory, you gauge the supersymmetry algebra. Mm-hmm. So, it does not, it's not an n equals 1 theory. That's engaged. Mm-hmm. Conjecture is.
Actually, I think it is better to go to the next slide. So, so concretely, what we so I said that I want to translate this into physics into mathematics, and concretely, I'm going to use the diagram here. This is essential diagram throughout this talk. So. First, in order to translate this question, we want to understand a little bit about heterotic string theory. And in this, so throughout this talk, it is just good to think about heterotic string theory as a machinery to produce something out of something. So, input is the world sheet theory, which is the two-dimensional superconformal field theory, and so with this supersymmetry. And heterotic string theory is a machinery to produce, starting from that world sheet theory, you construct the space-time theory, which is the quantum gravity theory, and more mathematically, it is a quantum field theory defined on string manifold. So space-time is string structure. So we just can think of it as such a black box machinery in our story. Anyway, so this is maybe answers your question. So your supersymmetry is here. And strathythinide is used here.
So, strathythinide
conjecture, I haven't explained it, but so strathythinide conjecture is really up to deformation, and deformation should happen in the space of SQFT. So SCFT is not the enough to the in the statement of strathythinide conjecture, but subset of that.
But the situation for you deforms string theory, but not in the space of string theory, so it's kind of SCFTs. But for the topic string, perhaps it's not as worrisome. That's true. You have on the ground, right? That bring you out of the SCFT.
What if we get a slide rate or something like that?
So what they do is they actually like write down from first principles, write a formula for the diagonal arrow. And then from the formula we can see that the factors that scale are things it's in use.
Okay.
I'm sure that the vehicle tells us this.
But I'm a mathematician and sorry, I'm pretending to know physics, but I don't know. So please allow me. So I wanted to complete the sentence. So this is this is a heterotic compactification, and so the, we are interested in anomalies possibly existent in this thing. And anomalies, we want to extract anomaly and show that something vanishes, composition vanishes. And interesting thing is that there are two. So on the both sides there are two mathematical counterparts. The left side is related to topological modular form by the strathythinide conjecture, and the right hand side is so anomaly classification of anomaly is given by Anderson Dirac. And in this case, this is the Fried-Hopkins conjecture. And in this case, we are interested in string manifolds, theory defending on string manifolds. So the correct thing to use is the Anderson-Dirac string volume. And we have these counterparts. And we have subtlety, certainly, to make this diagram. But we expect that this transformation, so composition, are mathematically translated into the map of spectrum, which is the basic assumption for us. And if you admit this assumption, we have translated the problem into a vanishing of show that this transformation vanishes. And of course, this alpha is not arbitrary transformation, but we can translate the physical condition property of this map into some conditions on this transformation. So what we do is to list some conditions implied by physics about this transformation and show that this transformation should vanish under that condition. So this is the whole of the story, and I'm going to explain many things about diagram, but this is a rough story. And I want to mention the degree shift, strange degree shift 20 here. TMF degree is related to the central charge of this super QFT in the strathythinide conjecture. On the other hand, the as I'm going to explain, the degree of the Anderson dual appearing in the Fried-Hopkins conjecture is related to the so QFT, the dimension, space-time dimension of the QFT. So this means that so we use this, we have to use this degree. So this degree shift is really coming from the heterotic compact heterotic string construction. The meaning of the heterotic string compact construction. So if you look at this construction carefully, you notice that from this central charge we produce the so quantum gravity theory, which is the d-dimensional theory. So this degree shift is coming purely mathematical physical meaning. Is it okay at this point? So this is the rough idea. And the first part is to explain this thing, this part, and the second part is this part, and then going to explain this formulation. So I'm going to explain the Stolz-Steichner conjecture and topological modular form. I'm not sure about the familiarity with TMF of the audience, but I'm including the very generic introduction of this TMF. So topological modular form is something mathematical, which is a spectrum, which is a topological version. So which can be understood as very roughly that spectral version of topological modular form. Modular form is what you are familiar with, something on the upper half plane. But we are interested in this thing because Stolz-Steichner conjecture says that two-dimensional supersymmetric QFTs, so QFT, which is not necessarily CFT, so QFTs of central charge this, and we impose unitarity and fully extendedness, which is so the most basic statement about basic form of the Stolz-Steichner conjecture is that you consider this thing and up to deformation, then it would be classified by TMF, cohomology group, TMF cohomology group. This is the most basic statement. But actually, I'm going to use more refined version of this conjecture, like E infinity structure is existing here. E infinity structure, a highly multiplicative structure existing in a topological modular form is reflected, corresponds to the something done in space of SQFTs, and also the equivariant version we want to use. Anyway, this is the most basic statement.
Fully extended
is fully local. So the point, roughly in the germ of the point is assigned phonemic algebra, but if you are suggesting something about target category of the QFT, then I'm not sure. So Stolz-Steichner in the 2004 paper states that the correct target of the this kind of QFT is going to be the category of von Neumann algebras, but I'm not sure. But certainly, fully extendedness is needed because, there are many possible explanations, but practically, you consider CFTs coming from VOAs or fully VOAs, and such a thing is supposed to be fully local by definition. And also, if you are a pure mathematician, you can think of once extended classification of once extended QFTs. And so, if it is supposed to, so the then if you only know the information about torus and so two-dimensional things, I don't know it is sufficient to realize DMF. So the Daniel Barwick Evans works out in the setting of once extended, so one two-dimensional QFT, no extended QFT, but flat things, restricted to flat manifold, then it would be classified by KOMF, what they call, which doesn't have the chromatic height to two torsion. We only get so up to the Wunke Norman invariant. Anyway, I'm going to assume the fully extendedness, the most physically expected assumption about QFTs. So I'm going to motivate this Stolz-Steichner conjecture. So Stolz-Steichner conjecture said that SQFT is classified by topological modular form, and I'm just wanting to say that this is a topological refinement of something more familiar. Why modular form is relevant for us? So if you have this supersymmetric QFT, then we can evaluate the partition function on the torus and Ramon-Ramon sector, which is mathematically the periodic non-trivial spin structure on torus. Then, and I just so realized that I have to multiply by some eta function because in order to fix it to fix the multiplier. Anyway, there is a formula to produce a modular form out of the torus partition function. So modular form is very much familiar thing. So the most convenient way to express this is the the holomorphic function on the upper half space, which has the covariance property of the SL2G action. And this is the weight of the modular form. And this is going to be graded ring. And so the this notation suggests that this is an integral modular form, which so if you expand it in this Q variable, then the coefficient is all integer. So you can think of the upper half space by the action of SL2G as the modular space of the elliptic curve over C. And the central charge, so the this is, so in this way, the assignment of the torus to the some number is regarded as a function over the upper half space. And central charge here specifies the projectivity of the functor, so that the partition function behaves in this way by the modular transformation. This is how we get modular form out of SQFT. And I want to note that this supersymmetry gives rise to the holomorphicity of the modular form here. And the ring of the modular form is very much well understood by this formula. This is an Eisenstein series, and this is the modular discriminant. So this is a very easy thing. But we want to, the Stolz-Steichner conjecture is a topological refinement. So this is not the, this is not expected to be a complete deformation invariant. Modular form is not all of the information about SQFT. And then I'm going to introduce the topological modular form. And as I said, the topological modular form itself is a mathematical thing. But today I want to illustrate the physical motivation about topological modular form. Yes?
I mean, I think your historical discussion.
Yes?
I think it was the Siegel who first explained this connection with TMF. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was Norman Wittgenstein.
I thought that Witten suggested something like topological modular form exists. I don't know.
Okay. certainly what we call the Solzhenitsyn conjecture.
Solzhenitsyn conjecture is not the Witten thing.
Yes, it's Stevens thing.
Yes. Plan of the explanation is that but Witten genus is constructed by Witten, right? And Witten genus, the home of the Witten genus, in his paper we find that you consider the family version of the Witten genus and what is the home of that. And something like topology, I'm not sure he used this TMF letter, but. I was not saying that Solzhenitsyn conjecture is the suggestion by Witten. I was suggesting that TMF that was, about this.
Sorry to interrupt, it's just
me. But yeah. Sorry, I'm not. I'm going to explain the Witten genus at least. So the Dirac index. So Witten wanted to study the Dirac index, so do the index theory on loop spaces. So this is very natural if you think of the string theory. In the usual QFT, the theory of particle, you consider the Dirac index. The space-time is spin manifold, and you can consider the Dirac operator and the index of the Fredholm index. And if you are a spin structure, you have the KO index, depending on the degree. And you want to do this loop space, you want to do the loop space version of this thing, if you're interested in string theory. And the first question is to ask is that what is the counterpart of spin manifold? So loops having the spin structure on the loop space. Then mathematically, it turns out that it is almost equivalent to having the string structure on a manifold. And mathematically, string structure is a refinement of the spin structure. So spin structure is a trivialization of the first fractional Pontryagin class integrally. So in particular, string structure implies spin structure. And how string Bodhism group looks like in low dimension. So the 0, 1, 2 dimension is the same. And 3 dimension, we have the difference. The 3 dimensional spin Bodhism group is 0, but the string Bodhism is generated by S3 with regroup framing, SU2. And it is a 24 torsion, which is the same as the torsion in the stable homotopy group. And this is the first difference. Other spin manifold just is a boundary of the four disk, but string structure doesn't extend on the four disk. And 4 degree, we have the difference. So spin manifold generated by K3 surface. But certainly you can check that K3 surface doesn't admit string structure because K3 surface has the P1 non-trivial. This is the string manifold. And I want to say about the Dirac index in the loop space then. And also, loop space has the S1 action, so you can imagine that you can define the something like this, S1 equivariant index. And supposed to be something like the formal power series of with integer coefficient. This Q is a formal variable which is a, specifies the S1 character. And so it is very difficult or almost impossible to think about the Dirac operator and even index over such an infinite dimensional manifold. But Witten's observation is that the index itself can be defined using formally, applying formally the localization of localization formula for the equivariant index. This is because so loop space is an infinite dimensional thing, but S1 action fixed point is the constant loop, which is isomorphic to M, which is a finite dimensional manifold. Then, formally applying such a procedure, he produces this formula. This formula itself is not important in this talk, but I want just to say that this is includes a formal variable and. So practically, we expand this formula into the Q series, and each of the Q coefficient consists of the finite difference of the some vector bundle, associated bundle of the tangent space. And here, it is taking the twisted Dirac index, so Dirac operator twisted by this associated bundle. Then you see that you notice that. You don't need the string structure to define this. So this is works for spin manifold to get this D coefficient formal power series. But the fact is that Witten genus is the modular form, has the modularity if M has a string structure. So this is physically very trivial thing because of the interpretation as this. So if you have this interpretation, you can easily deduce that modularity exists. And also, it is mathematically easy to prove this modularity. And so the diagram, we have this diagram. So Witten genus maps to so string Bohrism to modular form. And if you forget the spin manifold can be defined Witten genus, but it is only a priori living in here. And so the we have the topological expected topological refinement. So the recall that so the topological refinement is meaning that so usual index is refined to be a spectrum map. Map of spectrum from M spin to KO, which is the Atiyah-Bott-Shapira orientation, which so this refinement means that we have the family version or more refined version of the index theorem. And so suggested by this, we can imagine that we can enhance this into a favorite spectrum. So the commutative diagram in the category of spectrum, and which was realized later by the many homotopy theory development. So this topological modular form is the most non-trivial thing. And so we have this spin Bohrism and string Bohrism and Witten genus. So it is very easy to construct a KO formal variable, KO theory with formal variable out of that formula. And this is the commutative diagram they constructed. Anyway, I want to explain a bit about topological modular form. So I can say very many interesting thing about topological modular form, but I just only saying necessary information about topological modular form in this phase. So topological modular form is a topological version of the weakly holomorphic modular form. And actually, mathematically it is defined as some global section, taking a global section of the some sheaf of the infinity ring over the moduli stack of elliptic curves over any rings. So this is the, so corresponds to the, this is a kind of enhancement of the usual modular form, because modular form is, defined, so can be understood as a section of the line bundle, some line bundle over the moduli space of elliptic curve over C. So this is, so somehow topological, if you want to be topological, so the, you should consider the moduli stack of moduli of elliptic curve over any rings. This is topological refinement, and the line bundle is replaced by some sheaf of the infinity ring. And this has a periodicity. TMA has a periodicity of 576. And we have, so this is, a, TMF is a refinement of the modular form. So we have the forgetful map to the usual modular form. But so that, as I said, this is a very trivial thing to understand. And actually, TMF is rationally easily understood because this map is rational equivalence. But the point is that there are non-trivial co-kernels and kernels of this map. So the example of non-trivial co-kernels is includes that, so modular form, certainly we have the modular discriminant and inverse of that in the modular form. But it turns out that there is nothing coming, so this doesn't lead to the topological modular form. But I'm saying that this is a rational equivalence, so that some multiple of this thing should come from TMF. And the least multiple is, smallest thing is 24. And also, there are many 2 and 3 power torsions in TMF, which is a kernel of this map. So I'm going to, I'm listing here about the table of the, some table of the modular form. I'm not, so this is some periodicity, so have the some periodicity, so this is a fine, sorry. Anyway, this is finite thing, but there seems to be, so the how to, there is a very random thing. So TMF, actually I'm using another version of TMF, but it doesn't matter so much. So the how to read this table is the TMF group is the direct sum of this upper row and lower row. And but the difference, so the distinction between upper and lower row is something called a chromatic height in the homotopy theory. Anyway, the upper row looks like very much periodic, which is the KO theory, which so we, the upper row information is coming from the extracted from the image to the KO theory. But the second row is something appearing randomly, which cannot be captured by KO theory. And yes, I said that there is a map from M string to TMF, which lifts the Witten genus. And actually, in the low degree, there is this map captures all of the torsions in string Bohdillon. And so I was going to use the Stolz-Steiner conjecture, which says that space of SQFT is more precisely. So this is up to deformation classification, but more precisely, we are using the form of the conjecture that you can consider the space of SQFTs of central charge C, and this forms the omega spectrum, and which realizes the topological modular form. And this is not just the correspondence at this level, but as I said, in mathematics, there is a map like this. So M string to TMF, and also TMF reduces to KO and modular form. And this all has the physics counterpart that M string, of course, M string is a string manifold, and TMF is supposed to classify as SQFT. And the map here, Witten genus, is the taking the supersymmetric sigma model. So that if you have a string manifold, you can construct the SQFT, which is the sigma model with target this. This is that map. And as I said, this direction producing modular form is the taking the torus partition function. But this direction is a refinement of that. So this is the S1 compactification map. So with the periodic spin structure. So you have the two-dimensional QFT, so you can evaluate on the S1. Then you produce the Hilbert space with the action, S1 action. This is, and you use the unitarity to realize the real structure on such thing. And what you get corresponds to KO with formal variable. And so, if you want to prove, if you try to prove the Solzhenitsyn conjecture, the first thing is to consider how to get TMF information out of the space of SQFT. So there are two easy cases it can be done manifestly. So the first case is that if you are lucky enough, so any central charge corresponds to the degree of TMF, so you can read off central charge out of your favorite SQFT. So if you are interested in, if you are lucky enough to be interested in the dimension n, so that the TMF map to the modular form is the injective, then the map is just going to be evaluating the Witten genus. This is very easy. So if you are having the VOA, then it can be read off from the VOA character. So this is easy case. But another easy case is that if your degree is not multiple of this thing, but have this minus 1 or minus 2 modulo 8, then we have the KO, map to KO, and which can be this, and suppose that your degree is nice enough so that it is injective, this map is injective. Then this has the G2 torsions. But this Z2 torsion is easy part of the theory, things. So this is essentially the model 2 version of the Witten genus. This is also easy to compute. But the point is that there are, beyond easy cases, there are many interesting torsions, and I'm not mentioning the Bunke-Norman invariant, but between the easy cases I described and difficult thing described in this page, there is an intermediate stage which is captured by Bunke-Norman invariant. Anyway, most non-trivial part why I'm going to be interested in eventually is the torsions appearing in, for example, here, which I called chromatic height 2 torsion. So there are examples of torsions, random part of the torsions in TMF, which corresponds to lattice VOAs. Listed here. This is the holomorphic extension. So this tilde is meaning the holomorphic extension of that. And these things have vanishing modular form. And we expect that this corresponds to the non-trivial torsion here, listed here. And Actually, this is not the random expectation. This expectation comes from the result of our paper, the new ones, as I'm going to explain later. This is suggested by the Anderson self-duality result. Anyway, this was the explanation of the diagram. I was explaining the diagram, this part of the diagram, but I noticed that not so much time is left. So the my plan, original plan, was to explain next this Anderson dual thing and then explain the whole of the thing. And this ends the first part of the talk. But today I'm feeling that I want to focus on the TMF part. So I just say only the enough information about this Fried-Hopkins conjecture part. Is there any question at this point? Sorry for too much background. The point is the following conjecture, Fried-Hopkins conjecture about Anderson dual. So this is a spectrum which is something called the Anderson dual to Bodism theory, which is recently important in the classification of anomaly, so SPT phases in condensed matter, and also study of anomalies. So their statement is, roughly speaking, I'm omitting many things, but roughly speaking, the following. So the, this Anderson dual classifies invertible phases, invertible QFTs, defined on manifold. And the point is that the conjecture is that this is a non-topological QFT. So the, their theorem, in their paper, they prove that classification of topological invertible QFT is done by torsion part of this thing. But the conjecture I want to use is includes the free part. So including the free part, this should classify the non-topological QFT, which it can be, depend on the connections or metrics. And so why it is relevant for classification of anomaly is that there is a correspondence called the anomaly in flow. That so in order so a formulation of it is a formulation of anomaly that anomaly is the boundary theory of the invertible QFT on one dimension higher. So if you admit that formulation, you can translate the question of classifying anomalies. So I'm not saying that classifying anomalous theory. So classifying classifying the anomaly line, then. It is corresponds to reduced to the classification of invertible phases on the one dimension higher. In this way, we use the conjecture of the form of the combined thing. So the Anderson dual of this degree, two degrees shifted, is so classifying the anomaly, possible anomaly in the dimensional QFT.
Sorry,
yes?
I thought there was a original argument given by Dan Fried. Anomalies are always topological.
No. Topological. You are saying that invertible QFT topological anomalies are always topological invertible QFT. Bulk theory is topological. No. I can say the counter example. So consider the massive fermion. Free fermion. Massless fermion. Then the bulk theory is massive fermion, and which is non-topological QFT. So, more relevant for us is the gravitational. Consider the gravitational anomaly of the two-dimensional QFT, SQFT. Then the it is the spin theory in the bulk, which is the which is non-topological. So something like this. So this is an example of anomaly I'm saying. So the massless fermion has this anomaly. So determinant line is bounded by, considering the determinant line. Determinant line is really using the connection. And indeed, if you extend it one dimension higher, the partition, what is the partition function for this theory? Then it is a reduced eta invariant. Eta invariant is like holonomy, so which depends on the spin connection we use.
Still some kind of transcendence.
Yes, but yeah, so in my terminology or in their terminology, it is classified as a, it is regarded as a non-topological theory.
Even though it has no degree of freedom.
Mm.
It's like as an absolute theory, it's not topological. The partition function does seem doesn't seem very deeply contested.
Yeah, I think that I understand that. There is a conflict in the terminology that sometimes people speak about TQFT, which means that Hilbert space is finite dimensional. I understand. So I'm not in that language. So my topological QFT really means that partition function is Bode's invariant. And I'm saying that so Fried-Hopkins theorem is about the topological QFT in that sense. So the QFT, so partition function, it is illustrative to look at this exact sequence. So the Anderson-Dial thing is generalized cohomology theory with this universal coefficients exact sequence. And this is this has a physical interpretation as like the left thing classifies topological anomalies, topological invertible phases. This is the thing appearing in the Fried-Hopkins theorem. So this exact sequence says that this is, so X group is R over D divided by R over D valued Bode's invariant divided by something lifting to R. So this is classifying topological anomaly exactly because my meaning of the topological says that partition function, this is the partition function. So partition function or argument of the complex phase of the partition function. So partition function is Bode's invariant. Thus, this defines the class here. But you have to go to the non-topological Q, invertible QFT, whose partition function is not necessarily Bode's invariant. But the point is that variation, so it is not Bode's invariant, but variation under the Bode's is controlled in a certain way. So if you are invertible theory and reflection having the reflection positivity, there is a physical empirical fact that the variation under the Bode's is captured by some integration of the characteristic polynomial, like eta variation of the eta invariant is measured by a hat genus on the bulk. So this is in the in the language of anomaly, the language of anomaly, this is corresponding to the anomaly polynomial, characterizing the rational part of the anomaly. So for topological theory, topological invertible theory, that kind of anomaly polynomial vanishes. And in this way, the massless fermion is corresponds to the generator, which is non-topological part of the classification. So. Anyway, this is what I wanted to say about Fried-Hopkins conjecture. So can I go to the formulation and proof part? Is there any questions? So then I'm combining these backgrounds. I'm translating the question into the transformation of the cohomology theory between TMF and Anderson-Dial to string manifold. And what is the physical assumption condition of translated to this transformation? The assumption is consisting of three parts. The first one is a little controversial thing. So So this I'm interested in this thing, but I'm claiming that I'm assuming that this factors to this thing. So this is this map is a KO thing I said. And this is the Anderson-Dirac spin. So string manifold is in particular spin manifold. So so the taking the anomaly of the theory or Anderson-Dirac, the map is in the opposite direction. And I'm saying that this factors through a transformation happening in this spin theory. And it is physically fermions, so the is what we care about so possible so potentially possible heterotic anomaly is captured by fermions living in that string theory. Maybe this point is controversial, but so the second point is that alpha spin characterizing this transformation is a M-spin module map. This is very clear to understand physically. So this M-spin module structure on the left-hand side and right-hand side, or string so on the right on the upper row, this is a M. This being M-spin module map implies that this map is M-string module map. And this is just saying the compatibility with the compactification, producting the taking the product with the sigma model with target string. So taking the anomaly and compactifying is compatible. And another the crucial assumption here is that so this actually character as comes from the known formula for anomaly polynomial in of the heterotic string. So this is in this language translated into an assumption about the value of the point of this alpha spin transformation. So this alpha spin, so alpha is going to vanish, but alpha spin is non-vanishing, and the degree in this particular degree, so going to 0 degree, this is given by explicit formula like this. The taking the Fourier, so that this should give some an integer number out of the formal power series, and this is formula is multiply the modular discriminant and take the Q coefficient, Q zero coefficient. And what we showed is that under these assumptions, we have the vanishing. So this is what we did. And actually, it turns out that the translation part, formulation part, is the most non-trivial part. And after once we have translated into this form of the mathematical question, then the vanishing itself is very much simple to prove, which uses the, so rational vanishing is actually known in the 80s, which is just statements that if you put so if phi q is coming from the modular form of the degree 10, then this formula should vanish. This is very much a particular statement about modular form. And also, we are interested in the topological modular form, so global possible global anomaly. So we have to care about torsions, and it turns out that under this modular assumption, the torsion part we have to look is in particular degree TMF 21, and luckily it vanishes. That kind of directional proof. So at this point, I was so as a mathematician, this is so physicists are delighted about this result because we show some anomaly vanishing universally. But as a mathematician, this seems to be not so much interesting because this is just a particular vanishing result. I didn't have the deep understanding of that. But it turns out that there is an interesting thing mathematically if you consider some secondary thing out of that. So this was the end of the first part. Is there any questions or comments? Questions? So let me move on to the second part. I hear that I'm having the total time is 30, and I'm supposed to end this talk 60 minutes about, but could you have some 15 minutes more or something?
I mean, it doesn't bother me. If anybody needs to go, then can go.
It depends on you. So I can be very brief, and maybe 10 minutes is.
I'm concerned we have another talk at 1:30.
Yes, yes, yes.
Time for lunch.
Yes, yes. I understand.
15
minutes more. Now. Okay. Let me
get more. Oh, thank you very much. So, I'm going to lift it. So, I said that this transformation vanishes, and I also said that by the assumption too, it is factoring through the Anderson dual to M-spin module, and this has a particular formula, and this is non-vanishing, and the result was interpreted as a composition vanishes. Then one topologist asked about possibility of lifting to the homotopy fiber of this. Then the topologist asked me about the possible physical interpretation of this map. And it turns out to be directly related to the Anderson duality in TMF.
So is it a CY alpha transformation?
No. Actually, this is unique. Only if you only assume that M string module maps. And also, it is a very much question, usual question about the, hey, you consider the, the ambiguity of lifting, which is coming from the map. And the thing is that this map image can be shown to be zero. Yeah, so I wanted to explain this thing. So Anderson dual to this homotopy fiber, but this is having the differential geometric nice interpretation. So this relative thing is, as you might easily imagine, classifies, so fits into this fiber sequence. So naturally, you can consider it, you can come up with this group. So this classifies the Bodhidham class of the manifold with boundary, but bulk has the spin structure, and boundary string structure is lifted. Spin structure is lifted to string structure, something like this. And Bodhidham is given by the manifold with corners. And so this is measuring the difference between spin and string. And so you have the concrete understanding. So this was this part was I looked at in the first part. So Z is K3 surface, and Z over 24 is S3 is SU2 framing. And actually, it turns out that this is 24 times this, and so this is non-trivial extension. And indeed, the generator of spin string vortism is like this. So D4 bounded by S3 and boundary equipped with the tangential framing. So this means that if you put 24 holes in K3 surface, you can frame it. And the conceptual theorem, the conceptual main theorem about in our work is the following. So we said that you consider the secondary thing, and this is related to the isomorphism, Anderson self-duality isomorphism. Related to this essentially factors the Anderson self-duality isomorphism. And what we show is that there is an isomorphism of this form, which is a self-duality, which is considered as a self-duality of topological modular form. Actually, the more famous or originally known form of the self-duality of topological modular form is this by Stoyanovska. There is about three versions of topological modular form, TMF is one of them, which also has so this is a global section also including the compactification. So compactification of the modular space, modular stack. Anyway, this form of the conjecture is Anderson self-duality is known, and this has a degree shift to any one. And actually, we can deduce this form of the duality to this thing. This so I'm not claiming that we have given another new self-duality without independently to this. Actually, this is our proof depends on this. We can deduce this isomorphism from this result. Anyway, we have this isomorphism, and the point is that what we this come up with from the vanishing of the heterotic anomaly factors through the this isomorphism, or more precisely, the dual to the this isomorphism here in this way. So relative thing. So relative, as I said, the written genus is like this, and so. Taking the homotopy fiber, the relative Witten genus is naturally happening here, and actually this can and so this can be regarded as a home of the Wunke Norman invariant. Anyway, this has a factorization, and so this is a conceptual theorem. But the point for us is like it is not so much important that this factors through the duality isomorphism for us. But the point for us is that alpha tilde we get, secondary morphism, is expected to be very non-trivial because it factors through the duality map in TMF. So duality, isomorphism is the most non-trivial map we can think of. So since it factors through Witten genus, this isomorphism, the composition it's not isomorphism, but supposed to be very non-trivial. And this motivates us to detect some non-trivial thing about TMF using this transformation. And practically, how to see how to use this map is to use it via pairings introduced by this form of the morphism. So this kind of transformation, cohomology transformation, so TMF mapping to the some Anderson dual to the this thing, and this Anderson dual, so Anderson dual has the exact sequence, and it is formed by homotopy group, homotopy group out homomorphism from homotopy group to something. So in this way, we can deduce that this kind of thing. So induces two kinds of pairings, or actually more pairings differentially, but two kinds of things. First one is the non-torsion pairing, which pairs TMF group and spin string group and produces the invariant. And there is another torsion pairing, which restricted to torsion part, we get the pairing, Q over the varied pairing. And using that, the point is that alpha tilde is very non-trivial, so these pairings are supposed to be very non-trivial, and so we can expect that if you put any interesting TMF class constructed out of VOAs and pair it with something differential geometric, then we can compute the result differential geometrically. This is practically computed by characteristic forms or eta invariants, since we have the physical understanding of the formula. And then if you compute it and it turns out to be 2 over 1 or something, then the original TMF class, the torsion of the TMF class can be detected. This is a prototypical thing I want to use. So the example of the non-torsion pairing is like this. So I said that in the degree d equals 24, I said that there is an interesting co-kernel to the TMF to the modular form. So modular discriminant, so this thing exists in TMF, but 1 over delta doesn't exist. So how to detect this is like, so on the spin side, Bodinum side, we said that there is a generator D4 with S3 framing. Then the pairing is simply computed by the computation of Witten genus or boundary term, and it turns out to be 1. So this explains why we can not divide anymore. And more interesting thing about it is that we can deduce the torsion pairing to deduce some non-triviality of the TMF class. And as I said, there is an interesting torsion class, which is chromatic height 2 torsion in TMF 28. And so this axial deduction about E8 construction about E7 times E7 is complicated. Maybe if you are interested in, you can ask me later. But you can produce some class in TMF 28 by power operation in TMF using the power operation in TMF and also using the equivariant drift of such things. And on the other hand, in the 7 degree, we have this non-trivial string Bodinum class, spin string Bodinum class. And by the computation of eta invariants, we deduce that this pairing is non-trivial. So this means that, so you can easily see that E7 times E7, holomorphic extension of that is vanishing modular form. And so this is necessarily living in the kernel of the map to KO, and this computes the, so this deduces that this element corresponds to this non-trivial torsion class. And so there are, so in this way we apply, there are two mathematically and physically both interesting applications. Mathematically, what we are doing is that we detect power operation happening in TMF. For example, E8 level 2 is constructed out of E8 level 1 using the power operation. And detect non-triviality of power operation via differential geometric methods like computing eta invariant. And physically, it is interesting because we can detect some height to torsions we have never detected out of two-dimensional QFTs. And I note that actually we are using some conjecture, equivariant version of the Stolz-Zeichner conjecture, which says that G-symmetric QFT, two-dimensional QFT, is classified by equivariant twisted TMF. So in this way, we conjecture, we give a refined conjecture of Stolz-Zeichner, so concrete correspondence between the torsions in TMF and corresponding BOAs. And yes, this is the end of the talk. So I'm basically interested in anything about Stolz-Zeichner conjecture. So as I say, our strategy in these works, all of these works, is to admit the Stolz-Zeichner conjecture, admit the Anderson-Dial conjecture, and show something. But of course, it is very interesting to consider proving Stolz-Zeichner conjecture itself. And so Stolz-Zeichner conjecture, the main difficulty in Stolz-Zeichner is like the SQFT, space of SQFT is not defined. It is very difficult. But certainly, we can consider easier subset, which is the SCFT. And imagine that mathematically constructing the map out of TMF, to TMF, so BOA to TMF. This can be maybe done mathematically. I'm very interested in that. And also, as I said briefly, we have to develop the TMS, equivariant twisted TMS. But for example, we have this. But the thing is that mathematically, it seems to be very non-trivial to do it. Yes?
We had a paper defining a Cobain-Cusatima.
Sorry?
Jacob Lurie had a paper defining a Cobain-Cusatima.
Twisted one? But now I'm not saying, I don't think that it is completely done.
He didn't give all the details.
It's might be defined, but it hasn't been studied.
In particularly, I want to have the complete computation. Computation for particular group and particular degree.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And more find more physical applications. So this is the end of the talk. Thank you very much.
Given the time, maybe we should handle any questions or not.
Sorry for extending this.